Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all of your prayers. We sure appreciated every one of them. There were some times I believe that's all we were running on is prayers. The tank was empty. But God bless you. I'd like to read one scripture. Three scriptures. It's in all the same chapter, though. Psalms 133. And I didn't give that to Hannah. Sorry about that. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. I want to say thank you to you musicians. God bless you. Thank y'all so much for all your music. I enjoyed the special that you sung, and it's just such a blessing to be home. You know, it's good to go away, and it's good to come home. So we sure do appreciate it. And you know, you learn to appreciate things, especially when you see where they don't have that the air conditioning that we have right now, brother and sister. I'm telling you, it would be a blessing down there for the saints there. But you know, the thing of it is, because they don't have the air conditioner, they are there for one purpose. Give me the word so we can get out of this hot place, you know, so it has its advantages and disadvantages. But let's go to Psalms 133, verses 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that run down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of the Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace that you put into our life. Lord, we ask you that you would help us through this presentation that we bring forth, Lord, in the breaking of your word. Lord, that you can be edified in all of it, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And Hannah, if you don't mind, we'll disconnect that cord and plug it to the other one, my other laptop. I'm going to make sure it's open for you now. It should pop up automatically. I worked this last night, so it did work. It'll take you just a moment to pop up. But it was a battle to get going on this trip. The devil fought tremendously to get this us across the. We tried to do everything in advance before the meeting, and I'm just going to go ahead and have you hit the slide, and all you got to do is hit the arrow to the right when I tell you to. That's all you got to do right there. But not yet. I didn't tell you yet. It was a battle on this trip, and we tried to do everything in advance so we would be ready for the trip. And so one of the major milestones that we knew we needed to cross, and I knew it in way advance, is the COVID shot, the test. And so weeks and weeks advance, we made reservations for this to be done. We talked with the pharmacy and said, hey, this is the test we need. This is the time we need it. This is the result. This is my flight. Can you make this happen? Yes, we can do it. Absolutely. We go there. We pay for the money. We get the shot and find out it won't work. They would do the shot 2 hours early. No problem. We'll do it again. So we went to them again. Hey, will this work? Can you get me on this flight? This is the reason I'm paying for this. It's for this flight. Yes. I said, will you get the results in time? Yes. They pick up the results every single day. Not a problem. We'll do it. So we took the test on Saturday again. Mind you, our flight is coming up. So we had to postpone our flight one day. And we made the reservations on it again. And we're waiting for the test to come through. Dylan's graduation's going on. Still no result. Monday morning, still no result. So I'm on the phone. I'm calling. Hey, We've been on the phone all day Monday. We said, hey, we paid in advance. We talked in advance. This is the purpose of me taking this test again. It's for this flight. My flight is tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. I need this result. And they said, well, let me check and see what's going on. They said, well, for whatever reason, they never picked up your test Saturday. They were supposed to pick it up. I said, I told you in advance before we did the shot, this is why I'm here. He said, I'm sorry. This is human error. And I said, well, when can you get the result? I will pay extra. What can we do to get the result here? I need to get on this flight. He said, the soonest I can get it for you is 3 to 5 days. I said, that's completely unacceptable. This is not going to work. And so I told my wife, I said, I don't know. It feels like the devil's just fighting us every step of the way. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the Lord. Maybe I'm not supposed to go on this trip. It seemed like every battle. And I said, I've got to go pray. My wife was sitting at the table and she was praying. And I went to my bedroom, and I just got on my knees and started praying, and the Lord just dropped down upon me, and I saw a vision, and I saw a sister in a yellow shirt, and I saw her with a dress with flowers on it, and I saw her give her heart to the Lord, and I saw her just as sure as I'm looking right now. And I said, Lord, I know we got to get through this. It's just a wall. And I got up and I told Vicki, I said, Vicki, we have got to, we just got to keep fighting this wall. We've got to get through here. I don't know how we're going to do it. I said, but I know I saw a sister that's going to give her heart to the Lord. I know for a fact we have got to go through this trip. I said, we may have to suffer, but this is suffering for his name's sake. And on the phone with the Delta or the United Airlines forever trying to get through. And they said, there's no way, sir, you're not going to get on this trip. It's not going to work. I said, no. I said, I am going on this trip. I said, I don't know what I got to do to different. I'm going on this trip. And they said, well, not through us. They said, because they will be waiting for you at the Nicaragua border. And if you don't have the documentation, they are not going to let you through the border. And so we got off the phone with him, and we prayed again. And brother, sister, I'm telling you, I scrolled through my phone and felt like a million times trying to find somebody that can give this test in the right amount of time. Nobody could do it. We called pharmacies. We called doctors. Everybody said, no, it's impossible. 3 to 5 days. Whoever told you in the beginning, they were completely lying to you. It takes 3 to 5 days to get this test. And I said, there's got to be somewhere. And I threw there. And somehow my eyes landed on a place in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I called them. I said, this is the story that I've been down. Please don't waste my time. Don't waste my money. Can you get me on this flight? And she said, I'm going to ask the pharmacist himself to make sure. I heard him. Absolutely, it will. They said, they need Nicaragua. Is that what you said? And she said, yes, they're trying to get to Nicaragua tomorrow morning. He said, I will cover it. Tell them to come here now. I will get them on that flight. I said, I'm on my way. I told Vicki, I said, get the car. Let's go. And so we're on the way. We paid in advance. We're going like, nobody's getting our spot. We go there. And it was the fastest test you ever saw. We pulled in, but it felt like that thing was that long this time. The first time it was this long and this long and this long. This time, I don't know, it's getting bigger. And they did the test on it, and she said, we'll try to have it to you in 45 minutes. I said, thank you. But we're going on our way now, on the way home, and she calls back, and she said, oh, I've got a problem. I said, do not tell me this. She said, it's going to be another 30 minutes before you get it. I said, that's perfectly fine. Praise the Lord. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, the Lord is going to bless you for that. So, well, we got through the test. We got through that wall. But this is the saints in Nicaragua. This is Brother Felix. I have been praying for this brother for 9 years now. Last time I was there was 9 years ago. And he just fell on my heart. And he's just a lovely brother. He is like the big brother in that area of Nicaragua. All the pastors look up to him. He is just a solid, solid brother in the faith. So, Hannah, go ahead and hit that next one. This is where we landed. This is my brother Alan on the end. And Brother Paco kept telling me, you're going to meet Brother Alan at the airport. He's going to meet us. He's going to go with this brother. I said, I don't think I've ever met this Brother Alan. He said, I thought you did. I said, no, I don't think so. He said, yeah, you did. I said, maybe I'm mistaken. Well, as soon as I saw him, I said, Brother Horse. He said, God bless you, brother. We call him Brother Horse because he's so big. He's as big as a horse. And his hands are like that big. And but just a wonderful brother in the Lord. He is going to full-time missions also. Brother Paco is this gentleman here and his wife, Saluba. And everyone calls Maria is her name also. And I think you all know this little lady. Okay, go to the next one. We flew into Managua, and our first stop was going to go all the way up to Tuma, Ladaya. So when we got off the flight, we said, brother, we have to eat, and we have got to get in the vehicle, and we have got to drive. And we drove as hard as we could to get to Tuma, Ladaya. And once we were there, we met Brother Milton and his family. I've never met this brother or his wife. Precious, precious family. You can see the dirt floors in the house, dirt floors in the church. Go ahead and go to the next one. And we preached on, the Lord laid it on my heart to preach on the family unit, very powerful, on the token, of what it is to have a token and the power of a token in a family. And this brother has been ministering on that exact same thing, exactly. He said, down the line of everything, brother, that you have preached. And the Lord really, really come down on the scene. And there's a few that gave their heart to the Lord and several that reconsecrated their heart to the Lord. After this service, one of the brothers wanted us to go to the hospital and pray for his mother. And so I said, yeah, Lord, we'll go. And you talk about this sad conditions of seeing their hospital, no air conditioner. So hot when you walk in, they're just sweating. And these poor people are just laying there just sweating in absolute agony. Well, we go to pray for the sister. And the next thing you know, we're praying for another person. Then we're praying for another person. And they said, would you like to rededicate your heart to the Lord? Yes. We pray for them, and they pray for them. And then we go to the next room, and then same thing in the next room, and same thing in the next room, and same thing. And then halfway through it, I'm like, where in the world am I at, and what am I doing? And we're literally going through the hospital, room to room. Would you like to receive the Lord into your life and talk to him? And yes, please, please. And pray for them, and then you should reconsecrate their heart to the Lord and pray for them. And there were certain families that were laying down sick, just terribly sick. And whenever we were leaving, they were sitting up on the bed, and they were smiling as we were walking by. And this is Bill's Haven Digging, you know, walking out. So you just never know. You know, we never know what all the Lord did during that trip on that little visit. At the end of that service, we're talking about, these are several of the saints that were giving their heart to the Lord, rededicating their heart to the Lord. And go to the next one. This brother here is a very precious brother. He got so full of joy during the service. He just, at the end of the service, in the prayer line, he fell on the floor and had his hands up, was just crying out to the Lord, and we were praying with him, and he just literally is so full of joy. He literally fell on the floor and started rolling on the floor and was just dancing in the Lord. Absolutely. I've never seen something like that before. It was awesome. Yeah, he was very, very excited. And just another part of the prayer line. We delivered some of the Bibles to some of the saints there that had reconsecrated their heart to the Lord during that service that the church paid for. And this is them also. And Brother Paco and his wife. And they had a stay in one of their houses. And this is their store inside their house. And so that is how they make their living. Is they'll have this little store. And you'll have that little bitty window. And people will come through the mountains and come knock on the door and ask for some sugar or whatever they have need of. And that's how they provide it. And you can see there's an iron there. They have a solar system from the batteries that they can do to work that. And they insisted that we use their fan during that night, and it was wonderful. We put that fan on and that night, and it was just beautiful. It was us. So praise the Lord for that. Right after we woke up, the sister was, you could see how happy she was in her kitchen. Got her water there and just doing some dishes, and she was just as happy as can be. And go ahead, over one more time. This is going to show the bathroom. And turn the volume.
This was Vicky's first bathroom in the mountain.
And this is actually tall enough, so. Sister doing the dishes. Kitchen station.
You see Brother Paco, he's very excited he gives his greetings to all of you. To this little assembly, we donated 15 Bibles to this assembly. And this is where I just want to say that we went to the hospital and we prayed for the sick. And many of the people, like I say, were feeling better before we left. So praise the Lord. Next one. And just another picture. And you can see the breakfast that we would have. That's pretty common to have. They said, Brother Daniel, you're probably not used to this kind of food. I said, Brother, I had this food a couple of days ago. Black beans and rice and eggs and tortilla. We were right at home. And they were like, oh, well, Harry, we thought we would give you something different. Like, no, this is normal to us. Okay. This is Brother Alan again, Brother Milton, and Brother Paco. And you see how big he is. That is the most jolly. I call him not only the horse, I said, you are the gentle giant. And I want you to look how big his hands are. Just unreal. Just absolute love of God in his brother. Absolutely amazing, him and his wife. We went and prayed for this brother. This was the pastor's father-in-law. He's having problems with his feet and just real sick in his stomach. And so we just had prayer. So if you can remember Juan Jose, just remember him in your prayers. From there, we drove from Iapol. We went down to Brother Felix's work. And this building needs to be replaced at some point because it's too small. It's a new work, so it's nothing pressing right now to do, but Lord willing, in the future, I'd really like to get behind this on helping him with this building. They're having services there every Sunday. You can go to the next one, Hannah. They're going to services every Sunday, and right now, Brother Felix will go, and his son is a minister, is another minister, and they'll alternate going to this other church and ministering the word there. It's a new work. They have youth services there. Around 50 youth right now that's coming. As far as people that congregation that's going, there's about 15 that goes right now. So I'd say it's a new work. Right now it's doing okay what they need, but eventually it will need replaced. It needs something bigger. And this is it here. So hit over one more time and it'll show the video.
This is the village in Ipong. And Brother Felix has been working on this. This is a church that he built. And he does youth services here. And he had about 50 youth on the last service. See, it's dirt floors. They do have electric through solar. He said, the last time I was here, he was telling me about the burden to do this. Build this building, and that's what he did. And they're praying about getting a bigger building so they can have more room for the people, for the saints. So I want to do just a video of it. And here's where they want to try to extend it.
They want to expand it out past where the bricks are. And if you notice the bricks, Brother Felix has been purchasing those bricks himself of doing that, to build this church. So that's what I love about these brothers. They're not sitting there just saying, help us build this. This is what they do. They are putting everything they can in to doing these things. And like I said, they're providing the bricks. He's not saying, help us with this. He's saying, Brother Daniel, please pray for me. This is my burden. And 9 years ago, he told me, Brother Daniel, this is my burden. I want to help these people in Iowa. I want to do this. And I said, well, brother, I will certainly be praying. And I have been praying for him for 9 years now. So, and this is just the inside of it again. And I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, it is hot in there. I've never seen. I've been in a hay barn. But they come. They come to be in service. This is from the outside of it. You can see the size of it. And so imagine having 50 people inside there, you know, inside there, and then standing outside the building. Next. From there, we drove to West RE, further down, another a couple hours to get under Brother Felix's home church. This was the burden that I wanted to come to. Can I go to the next one? And this is the old building. The last time I was here, we slept inside that church, and the locusts were so loud you could not hear yourself think. But there was something louder. Brother Paco. I would rush in there to try to go to sleep really fast before he would get there, because that brother can snore. And he, that brother, it never failed. He would, and like his head would hit the pillow. It was that fast. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I told Vicky, bring earplugs just in case. Thank the Lord we didn't have to. Well, and I'll show you later on, he slept outside. But it was better out there because there was maybe a little bit of breeze out there. So, but this is the church here. And Brother Felix, this is inside the congregation. And I just want to stop here for just a moment. This brother right here has worked so hard doing coffee beans for his father. And he taught himself how to play the piano and the keyboard. And to the point that he is given lessons in the keyboard. And that's what he does also for a living now. He said, but Brother Daniel, I only do Christian music. I won't do nothing else. He said, I want it to be for the glory of the Lord. And he's got a cheap keyboard on that right now. I say cheap, it's low grade keyboard. And he said, we were showing Hannah's video of Hannah's keyboard. He said, Brother Daniel, he said, and he can speak English. He said, Brother Daniel, he said, this is what I have prayed for so long. He says, for that. He said, and he knew the model and everything. He just spoke it out. I'm like, wow, look at Vicky. And like, that's impressive. Like, he knows his stuff. It's a very genuine brother. He plays the piano and his brother plays the guitar. And I'm telling you, Lord, keep them, because they are good enough that they could be in the world. But the Lord, they have got such a humble heart. So this is the first night with Brother Felix. And we're getting ready for service now. And the Lord had really laid it on my heart on this trip to not so much just leading people to the Lord, not just God sent a prophet, but the positioning of a church, of a believer, of seeking revelation, of seeking what did this prophet say to us. And that was really the theme of this message. And there was a few souls that come to the Lord on this night. Next one. And some of his brothers were coming forward. They said, Brother Daniel, he said, this is what I've been praying for. He said, I want to know what this message means. And so they were literally up there. They were praying for revelation. Lord, help me to see this truth. And we are eating again with Brother Allen. And you see Brother Felix in the back. And this is his daughter, one of his daughters. And just good home cooking. Thanks. Brother Felix again. This is the trip down the hill. And I started to do a video of this, but it's a pretty long video. So if you want to see one later on, I can show you the whole video walking down. It takes about 8 minutes to get there one way. And so that's Brother Felix up there. Or Brother Paco actually ahead of us. Heading back to service again. And this was another brother that wanted to rededicate his heart to the Lord that morning service. This is Brother Felix's daughter, Elizabeth. And her and Vicky, she was just stuck to Vicky like glue. Anytime Vicky was going down that mountain, down the hill, she had Vicky's arm and she was holding on to her because Vicky was not going down unless she went down with her. And just a wonderful, wonderful spirit. And she plays the piano also. So, us together. And this is after the service. On the service, you can see the sisters. And you can see Sister Vicky is just like Moses. She has her staff in her hand, and she is going conquering that hill. And she did fabulous on this trip. She did. She did really good in the heat. And but each of the sisters had a pole. They'd cut them. They'd have them waiting on the top of the hill for them. When we'd come down, they'd use it. They'd put it right back. And then she knew the stick by name. So about looking at it, she said, where's my stick? Oh, here it is. And she knew the stick, you know, what her staff was. So, and this is where we're getting ready for fellowship. And this is a precious brother. He, you see how jolly Brother Paco is? Just happy as can be. This is their sister Elizabeth and her mother. And forgive me, I cannot remember her name right now off my mind. But we were all at the top of the hill, and they knew it was hot. And we told them, I said, maybe if we were here longer, we would get used to the heat. And they said, student interpreter said, no, you do not get used to this heat. This is miserable. He said, we love Nicaragua. We hate the heat. And that made me feel good. Because it wasn't just me. You know, maybe I'm just American. Well, they come and got us and took us down here under this beautiful tree. And we just had fellowship that afternoon for just a little while. And there's a stream of water below here, and there's a creek there. And I just walked over there, and I dropped a coconut off the ground, and I threw it, and I hit it inside that water. And the sister, Elizabeth, came over there, and she threw next to it. It was kind of bad. But their mom, she went over there, and I'm not kidding you, she grabbed this coconut, and she threw that thing straight spiral and nailed that water. And she looked at me, she went, and I'm like, wow, that's impressive. Well, we do it again. 3 out of 3. She threw 3 times, and all 3 times, same spot, direct spiral, boom. And every single time, she looked at me and go. This is a wonderful, wonderful spirit sister. And I didn't know this until I got home. She's the one that taught her children how to play the guitar and the piano. And so I've shared one on my Facebook of the guitar. That's the sister that taught him how to do that. Absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome. Very good spirit. And her sister Vicky, she has got her cloth, her cooler pad on her neck, trying to cool her down. And another servant, this one was several sisters that come for prayer and rededicate. This brother here, there's a very awesome testimony of this brother. The first night that I preached at this service, it was so hot inside that building, like I just needed a little bit of air. So I stepped outside the building for just a moment, let the air blow in, and I seen this brother from afar. And he was like, I couldn't see his face. All I could see was, but I kept feeling a drawing from him. Well, I kept trying to study and doing it. I kept feeling that connection. Well, I got inside the service and we preached, and I didn't see him. I thought, well, I wonder where that brother is in my mind. Well, we just went on to preaching, and there was a few that gave their heart to the Lord. After the service, we walked outside, and he was standing in the same spot over there staring at us. And Brother Paco said, Brother Daniel, he said, he has fallen from the Lord. He said, I said, let's go talk to him. He said, you want to? Let's go talk to him. As soon as we got up to him, he said, hello, Brother Daniel. And he remembered me. He said, do you remember me? And I said, I do remember you. And he came to the Lord on my last trip 9 years ago. Well, he had backslidden 3 years ago and hadn't been back to church, but he couldn't. He said he just didn't feel worthy to come back to the church. And I said, brother, I said, you were one of God's flock. And his tears began to come up his eyes. I said, God left the 99 for one, brother. I said, and he's calling you back to the flock, and this brother just broke down right there in the back of the church and dedicated his heart to the Lord. And he was all rough and scruffy shaven. That was the night before. This is the next day, and he's clean shaven, and he's back in church, and he's serving the Lord. And on the way home, back up the mountain, he was already in service for the Lord. He had one of those benches on his shoulder walking up the hill. And Brother Paco said, "Say, Brother Daniel, back in line and already in duty for the church, serving the body." So I thought that was a wonderful testimony about this brother. So. And the sister with the dress, the yellow shirt and the dress, I'm telling you, brother and sister, this is the girl. I saw this girl. I saw her before our trip ever come. I seen a shirt. I seen the yellow shirt. I seen the dress. Her face, as soon as all I could do was cry. And I didn't get any pictures of her. I was upset. So inside of the Lord. Go to the next one. And this is just the brother that dedicated his heart to the Lord in one of the prior services. And you can see how hot he was. Gave a few of these sisters a Bible. And they were pretty, very excited about it. These sisters come in one of our final services. They were really asking for revelation. They said, "Brother," she said, "I want to know what this message really means. I don't want to just come to church. I want to know." And I was talking about this, the signs of the true church. And I thought they were just, it was such a good spirit about them. They just really wanted to know what the truth was. And this is a picture of the whole congregation. And they added a sister, Vicky. It's kind of dark here, but I don't know if you can see who's right behind her, but it's Sister Elizabeth. Stays right with her. And again, she just loves Sister Vicky. This is where we're going to do a water baptism. I didn't do the video of all of them because the time's sake, but five received water baptism. And go to the next one. And this little sister was the last one, and I'm here to tell you, during the preaching, Brother Graham talked about how you can see a peculiar look on someone's face whenever something is exposed, you'd see that. And I saw that in his sister through the services. We'd be preaching, and I'd see her whole face would just light up, and she'd go back down like she almost fought it through those services, and she'd give her heart to the Lord. And receive the water baptism. So. Sisters' Bibles. And these are four of the sisters. And you can see Brother Paco lounging and Brother Daniel lounging. And then he got caught. And I want you to see something here. Vicky inherited a friend. This little guy here Everywhere she would go, it would follow her. She would sit on the chair. It would come sit right beside her chair. She'd go to the hammock. It'd follow her around and sit by the hammock. And I was looking at customs to see what we could do to get it home. I just couldn't work it out. I believe it would be sitting right beside her right now if we could. It kind of made me feel. And this was later on. And guess, look behind there. She inherited her little friend. So this is where we're getting ready to go. This brother on the far left is the guitarist and just absolute wonderful spirit. And he's also a minister as well. So. And the horse again. This is the service Brother Paco preached. Absolutely awesome service. He preached the Tuesday night service. Absolutely awesome service. And they want him to preach because this is the first time Brother Paco had been there in 9 years. He'd been there one time when I went with him, and then he went again with this time. I said, Brother, if it'd be okay, please, no, we want the will of the Lord. So I thought that was wonderful. He knows I've had problems with my ears. Brother, last time I went, years ago went, I couldn't get on my knees and pray because this knee would hurt so bad. And the Lord, through Brother Paco, healed my knee where I can get on my knees now. I could not get on my knees and pray before, and the Lord healed it. Well, he had heard that my hearing has been giving me a lot of problems where I can't hear. I had to read lips a lot. And that service, he felt led of the Lord to pray for my ears. So I'm believing, I'm confessing that the Lord will touch my hearing. And go ahead and go next. I'm going to see you live, Brother Paco. Brother Chim does a fabulous job too. I'm just picking it. That's Brother Paco. Amen. This is a brother that I had never met before. First time I met Brother Natividad Lopez. This brother's never would smile, never would talk, never would do anything. He is real stern all the time. And it was very funny because we all sat around this table, but he brought his church with us to be in service, but he was sitting around this table. He never would talk, ever. Well, I had preached about hiding under the shadow of the Almighty and preaching about how it is our refuge. We can be under this truth. We can be under the feathers of the Lord and have the Lord protect us. And we were talking about the economy, the things that's going on, how it's coming against congregation, worldliness coming into the church, and all these things. And this brother out of nowhere, and I caught just a little bit. You can see my phone is halfway up because I wanted to catch it on picture, on camera. He smiled real big. He said, Brother, through the interpreter, he said, that's why I want my congregation to be under the shadow of the Almighty, of what you preached. And I was like, glory to God. I put my phone to take a picture. I caught him smiling. And then everyone just laughed. They thought it was so funny. But this brother is just a solid, solid brother in the Lord. And the Lord willing, he's asked me if we could come to him in his service. I said, Brother, I can't guarantee when. I said, but the Lord will open the door. I'd like to come. So I try to be very careful on how I worded it because I don't want him to say, you said you're coming. But I want to. In myself, I want to. but they need a generator in their church because if their solar, it goes by solar panels there for the music, and if it's cloudy or it's rainy, they have no power. So this is one of my burdens, and I'll talk to you more about that at the end of the service. We then drove 7 hours back to Managua and had a rest day, finishing up fellowshipping with a new pastor, Brother Ezekiel Rodriguez. This is, we're going to go to the next one. While we were there, this is a precious young brother, 33 years old. He's got a super small, soft voice. And a lot of people criticized him and said, there's no way that you could be a minister and have a soft voice. And it's silliness. I said, brother, Jesus had a soft voice. That's why he preached on the water. And the water would echo up there, and it's really encouraged him. But he's very solid in the Lord. Real quick on this photo, we were sitting there, and you see the picture of the hat in the scriptures. I looked at one of the brothers, and I said to the interpreter, I like that hat. I said, I like it. Well, he took it off, and he gave it to him. I said, oh, brother, I don't want to take your hat from him. He said, no, brother. Gave a hat, and well, I put it on. So I got that hat now. And the next day, they showed us, they gave us a cup, me and Vicky, of us wearing my hat and holding our coffee cup. So our coffee cup is embroidered on it. So praise the Lord. And this is the brother that gave me his hat in the far end. This is Brother Ezekiel. You can just, I don't know if you can see from his eyes, very, very sincere brother. He's not real loud. He's very reserved, and he wants to know the truth. He wants to lead his church right. And it is a very, very precious brother. That's his song leader on the back. I told him he should be the businessman. Their building that they were going to show you in just a moment, they were praying for God to give them a building. They told him, we'll give it to you for $25,000. He said, no. He said, no. We're not going to give you $25,000. We can't give you $25,000. No, not going to happen. He said, we just continue to pray. He said, and about a month goes by. He says, okay, $22,000, the church is yours. No. He said, but we'll pray. If the Lord will provide, we'll do it. And they come back. He said, probably 3 months later, he says, okay, $18,000, the church, the building is yours. He says, I'll pray about it. He said, no, as of right now. And the brother's like, you've got to be kidding me. You know? And he said, we just prayed. We said, Lord knows what we can do. And the brother said, because they have to get financing for the building and everything. And the businessman come back to him. He said, okay, $17,000. He said, and you can pay me directly. We'll do the contract under me. No bank, no nothing. $150 a month. He says, okay. Not that much, brother. And he has the coffee shop where he does like printing and stuff. He's the one that made the cup board. I said, brother, you need to be on the trustee board. So very, very good, brother. This wonderful. This is their church. They rented this awning so they could have service and to keep the rain off of them and the sun off of them. And so that's another, my burden is to help them with this awning because they need one. To cover that, because if it's raining and stuff, they can't fellowship. It's too many people. So, and you see I'll go back there for just a moment. You see the kitchen, there's a bowl pump full of rice, or a pan pump full of rice. So, praise the Lord. And we were fellowshipping with Brother Ezekiel here. There's the kitchen again. The sister's preparing. And this brother is a wonderful musician. Absolutely awesome. Go ahead and go to the next one. I think I've got that on video. Maybe I did. Yeah. Get it one more time. Thank you. he did the recording for the pianos and stuff and saved it, and then he played the flute to go with that. So this is his song. Precious, precious brother. The atmosphere was absolutely electrifying there. Everyone was prepared for service. This was the service that we had. And there were several that gave their heart to the Lord during that service. And some of the families just wanted to rededicate their heart to the Lord. The pastor was come and asked for a prayer for leadership. That he can be a solid pastor in the message, that he won't turn to the left or to the right, because there's so much false doctrine that's coming there. It's just insane. And he's having to try. He's trying his best to keep it straight. And he got really devastated. He really hurt his feelings. A great man, supposed to be a great evangelist from start with a C. But it doesn't matter. But a great minister come, supposed to be, to minister for them, to help them. And when they come and saw their facilities, he would not preach to them. He said, no. He said, the Lord was with you. He would provide better than this, and left him. And it really just broke his heart, broke the people's heart. Because, man, they were given the best that they could possibly give you. And they turned him down. I said, well, brother, I am happy. You just tell me where we want to sleep, and that's where I'll sleep. Where's the coffee? And he loved it. He inherited it. But this brother, remember him in your prayers. Brother Ezekiel. He's 33 years old, young brother. He wants to be right. His congregation wants to be right. And they received the word very, very well. So, and this was the fellowship afterwards. Brother Ezekiel again. And that was me after the second service. I was wiped out. But after this service, there was a few come to the Lord in prayer and have to tell the good with the bad. There was a family there that brought up a boy that was very, very sick. And he had leukemia, and he was so bad he could hardly walk. And I felt a barrier, and it was his parents. And at the front, we kind of brought him up to me, he was going to pray for him, and I went to get down, knelt down to pray with him, and I kept feeling a burden there. It was like, there's something wrong here. I'm hitting something. And I rose up and I talked to the parents. I said, I feel like there's a sin here. There's something stopping me from getting through here. And the parents said they do not want to. They said, we don't want to go to this church. I said, I'm not asking you to come to this church. I'm talking about Christ. This is your son, that we can pray together that your boy can be healed. And would not do it. They said, no, we'll not do it. And it just broke my heart. And I had to really pray the Lord help me to not let this be a hindrance to me for this trip. Because if Brother Graham said, all you can do is give them the prescription, but they have to take the prescription. It's a pardon. You give them the pardon, they have to receive the pardon. And so I continue to pray for that boy. I continue to pray for the parents. But, the good with the bad, you know. This is where we went to the youth leader's house. And they welcomed us with open arms. And we put my phone faceward so everybody could be in the picture. Because they wanted someone else to take the picture. I said, no, we're all in here. So it took 3 shots to get there. I run back there in football stance to get in the picture. And we finally got it right. So, somewhat. Brother Ezekiel testified that we come just in the right time. He said their church was so discouraged, and everything that the Lord had preached
really just really help them, and they need the awning for the building, and it's about $1,500 that would give them an awning for the church, and that was what I was talking about, to cover from the sun and the rain. So just pray the Lord would help. The next day on Monday, we were going to see the sisters that donated two tires for the truck. We were going to buy four tires. The company we bought it from insisted that they pay for two tires. And so we wanted to see them, and they wanted to take us to show us the volcano in Managua. And so that is a picture of the volcano up close, and it's huge. You see it again, the volcano.
Yeah.
These are the precious sisters that have donated the tires. And they received me last time also. God blessed them. Their father was a wonderful man, and I got pictures of him. I didn't put it in this post, but he welcomed me with open arms. There were souls that come to the Lord 9 years ago, and they told us on the trip. They said all of them that cut their heart to the Lord are still serving the Lord. They're still solid. So I like that. 9 years later, you know, they're still serving the Lord. I'm being sent from here. We're standing kind of where the volcano is. The volcano is probably from here to the church at the road. This black, that is from the last eruption where it blew the rocks. That's how far those rocks. So it's insane. And the last eruption, or throwing rocks, was December the 27th. After we were there, I said, when was the last one? I'm thinking, you know, 400 years ago, 300 years ago, December the 27th. Last year? Yeah. This has been great. let's go this way. So, praise the Lord. And with Paco dancing on the deal there. Okay, we were unexpectedly, after this service, mind you, my voice was gone. And so I was trying to rest my throat so I can talk. We went to visit another pastor that had a surgery on his esophagus. And they brought coffee to me, and then they brought a big piece of cake. And they said, and I thought to myself, I was like, I probably shouldn't eat this. Because what if they had me preach? Even though we're not scheduled for nothing, I was like, no, they're not going to ask us. I ate it, and I'm licking my fingers, and Brother Paco comes smiling, real ear. His brother Daniel, they want us to preach. I said, brother, in 20 minutes. And I said, okay. I said, brother, I don't have my Bible with me, and I don't have my glasses with me. I didn't wear them because I was sweating so much. I just had to keep wiping them. He said, brother, they don't care. They want the word. And I said, well, praise the Lord. So we go straight there, and by the time we get there, we got less than 10 minutes for service to start. And all I had was my phone, and I knew the Lord had put a sermon on my heart a while back, and I'm trying to preach. I couldn't do it. It's Jesus has heard your cry, and it was a sermon. And that service, it has come to me clearly. This is what you need to preach. So I felt naked coming out there without my Bible. So I got a Hispanic Bible with me. I got to at least have a Bible with me, and took my cell phone. And I walked out there with my Bible and my cell phone and read my scripture. And brother, sister, I'm here to tell you something. We had church. It was absolutely awesome. The Spirit of the Lord that come down. And I don't have a whole lot of pictures of the service, but the prayer line, after there's so many that give their heart to the Lord during this service, this sister here wants a baby. She's prayed. The doctor says it's impossible, but we're believing that she's going to have a baby. She's heard testimonies of other trips. So. And that was the pastor that did the surgery. And during this service, I kept feeling like my glasses were foggy because it looked so like dirty because it was so foggy inside there while I was praying. But then I remembered I didn't have my glasses on. It was just foggy inside the building. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. And you can see. In the prayer line, my voice was gone at the end of it. I was just, but the Lord was, it's like I was lost in myself. I see this prayer line, and there's a lot of people outside the building. They were praying, and they were all the way to the back, and we were just praying for each one, and I'm looking at, and I'm like, we're coming to the end. It's like, and I just kept pressing, just pushing through and praying for each one. I'd look over and be like down to three or four, and look back, and it's back to the outside again. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. And we're praying through, just each more, and that happened three or four times of just coming through. And absolutely awesome service the Lord gave us that during that time. And when you shake hands with everybody, and almost most of the people, like 80% of people, go by, and just tell me in beautiful in Spanish or perfecta. It is that they need. It was what they had need of in that trip, and it was completely unprepared, unexpected. It was the Lord. And I was drenched in this vodka. Service we had for some we ate Israel food from Israel in town. That was interesting. Israel food in Nicaragua. And this is Brother Manuel. This is Brother Alan's father, Manuel Lopez. Wonderful brother. He has been pastoring now for 3 years there, and he's very, very solid. I spent 4 hours with him before the service and just had a really good time with him. Next one. And this is their tabernacle Gilgal. Brother Allen, doing helping with the song service. And at the end of the service, there were several that come to the Lord and rededicating their hearts to the Lord, and some wanted to read, just wanted revelation. Go to the next one. This brother here, my heart just goes out for him. Yeah, he was very, very sincere and come to the front. His dad is in prison, and he misses. He's asked God to help him, to save his dad. So ask the Lord that would just help that, continue to help that boy. This is Brother Allen and his family. The last time I was there 9 years ago, this girl here, I had her in my arms like this. And they said, Brother Daniel, do you want to do a retake of the photo? I said, no. You can see she looks just like Brother Allen, and she acts just like Brother Allen. Just wonderful family. To say our goodbyes. This is our last service there. And we were homeward bound after this. So we were I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of excited to sit down in the seat once we finally got through customs and everything again. And so the needs I'd like to talk to you about that we'd like to help with is the awning for the Acclimation Tabernacle. It's about $1,500. That would give them an awning that would protect them from the sun, protect them from the rain, and also the shade would help cool the building too. So I think it's a worthy cause. The generator for Brother Natividad Lopez from Santa Fe is $800, roughly, around $800. And that would give them electric for their services. So again, that's, I think it's a really good thing. And eventually, Brother Felix on the new building, I don't feel it right now. To do it right now, just let's wait and see what the Lord will do on that. But eventually, I would like to get behind him on the new building. That should be another one. The new keyboard for Brother Felix congregation. That's the brother I was discussing earlier. He travels from that church to the other church with his keyboards, and I think it would be good to help with a keyboard with that. And I think we should give him the best that we can give him. You know, as far as the one like Hannah that we got for Hannah, I think like $650 here. There it's about $900. That's my burden, so we'll see how it goes. A new work that, the Lord willing, our next trip possibly will be at Lancho Jungle in Nicaragua. That's where Brother Paco's at now. It's a completely new work there. There we would have to travel by canoe to get to where we're going. This is a church. They named the town Goshen because it is a completely new work. They've named it Goshen. And the termites have eaten up all the wood, and the believers are trying to they've come up with the money for the blocks to build a church, but they're needing floor and windows. And it's about $2,500, and that would pay for that. So I thought that was wonderful of them. They've come up with most of it. They just need a floor and windows. So $2,500 for it. This is that church. Like I say, I have not been here yet. This is where Brother Paco's gone. He said it may look good there. He said, Brother Daniel, the termites have absolutely eaten it up. He said it's very shaky. And you can see the floors of what they've got right now, wood floors. And I believe that is the last of my photos. So praise the Lord for everything that he's doing, everything he's done. I say several souls have given their heart to the Lord during this trip, and I intended on preaching, but we're 10 minutes still about getting close to the quitting time. But I would like to read one more scripture, if you don't mind. And that is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. How many of you love the Lord?
Amen.
You know, and I want to know, tell you, there was, I didn't bring my phone with me, that right before that service, that we had 10 minutes till the service started, I was so tired in my flesh. And I was like, Lord, I ask you to help me, and I don't get signal on my cell phone. And I was sitting there in the study office, and my phone went off. And my kids all sent a text message to me. And my son Elijah said, I'm so thankful to be your son. I'm so thankful for what you're doing, Daddy. Keep fighting the fight. Next one, Hannah, keep pressing the battle, Daddy. Keep pressing the battle. Malachi, keep fighting. Dylan said, I love you too, Daddy. Praying for you. And I tell you what, it was at the right time. And it reminded me of you, brothers and sisters, because your prayers is what helps us. Brother Brenham said that too. I need your prayers. And that's so true. Because when you're there, because like a new strength come inside me, like, okay, let's do this, you know. One more time. So, just the one scripture, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so that's what I just want to encourage every person here to remember, that on this life, there's a lot of things that we fret and we worry about in this life that mean absolutely nothing. You know, this going there is another fresh reality of there are people out there that are just trying to do all they can do to get to church. They're trying to do all they can do to get to hear the word, and we are giving it freely. We got air conditioning, we got padded seats, we've got all these things, and you know, it's real easy us being in America that we get so comfortable and we get so soft. But you know, he's the same God. The same God that would meet them in those meetings there is the same God that's here, but it's a matter of us getting our attitude and our mindset right on the right thing, approaching God and approaching services. And you know, encouraging the pastors there. There was a lot of the time there, we would just spend one-on-one with the pastors there and just seeing the struggle that the pastors go through there. And brother, it's the same here in a lot of ways, but it's a different kind of battle. Right. You know, there it's a financial struggle, but here it's a spiritual battle because there's so many distractions. There's so many distractions, not just the ministry, but you too, you know, every one of us. And I was telling my wife on the way here, she said there's churches she heard of that there are coffee machines down today, so they can't have coffee in the sanctuary, you know. And it's a terrible thing, what it's come to. And I told her, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind us having a fellowship hall so we could have coffee together. I said, but the thing is, as far as before services, especially on morning services, sometimes I think it's good that we don't talk to one another. Because whenever we go there, our mind is right, our attitude is right. I'm focusing on hearing this service today. And so I just want to encourage you to draw the line in the sand for yourself and say, Lord, help me to lay down my life for my brethren. And what would that mean to do that? To lay your life down for your brother? It's through your prayer. It's through your encouragement. Because you know what? Whenever you have the blessing upon you, you can bless other people. But if you're walking and you're not walking the blessing, it's almost like it don't want to sound rude, but you can almost be a hindrance to other people. Because the pastor will have to stop and correct the little stuff so he can go on to the bigger stuff. So I'm not saying quit going to church. I'm saying let's focus on the little things, that the petty things that we surround ourselves sometimes and push those things out of the way and just focus on the Lord. So I just wanted to say I love you. I thank you for your prayers. Thank you for my wife. I thought she did wonderful on this trip. There were some nights, brother and sister, it was so hot that we literally, we would do better if we were outside, I think. But they wanted us to have the best of the best that they had. They had us inside the cabin. And we were so hot, we just stuck our feet out the wooden window and pray that a gust of wind would come through. And the cloud the size of a man's hand, it felt wonderful. It was like, oh, that felt good. You know, you appreciate the small things, but it was miserable. But I turned it all off. It was dark. I told her, I said, this is laying down our life for the brethren. You know, this is suffering for his name's sake. A lot of times we suffer, and we go, a lot of times it's for our own nonsense, you know. But that's the cause that we want to suffer for. You know, it's for them. So I want to say God bless you to my wife, and thank you for helping. She was a tremendous help. As I said, I'm not used to having someone get my clothes ready when I go there. I'm used to trying to do it all myself. First time ever having someone help me there. So thank you. I appreciate that. And she got firsthand experience of it. So let's all stand, if you don't mind. And so I don't want to keep you long. I know I was planning on this being like 15 minutes and then preaching. And, well, once you start talking, it's you don't want to leave stuff out, you know. And I still left a bunch of stuff out. But I'll ask you to please pray for me because my heart is for missions. I want to go back. I want to go in the name of the Lord. I don't want to just go. I want it to be the Lord leading us. Because when I go, brother, sister, I want to try to get this point across as much as I can. I don't want you to just support financial. That's a part of it. But the main thing is your burden and your prayers. That you would truly have a burden that we can touch a soul. Because that's what it takes, a burden. And not just on missions field. That's the kind of burden we need on a daily basis in this church. May it come to the point that we will be sick at our stomach if we see sin come in this church. That we'll pray for one another. Lord, help us to keep us solid in the faith. Amen. I ask your musicians to come if you don't mind. And I'd like to pray with you. And just ask if anyone has need of prayer this morning, we would sure love to pray with you also. And I just want to ask every person to search within your heart and ask yourself, what can I do to lay my life down? What can I do for missions? Because, you know, Brother Brown said, if a church that's doing missions work is in the will of the Lord. And that's what we want. We want to do missions. You know, but missions not just over there. Missions is right here. You know, the person at the grocery store. You know, the person that you go to the gas station with. You know, that missions is here to where we can say, come and see what we are feeding on. You know, Brother Brown talked and preached a message, works is faith expressed. And, you know, if you look at that, that's wife. And Brother Graham talked about how that whenever you have the faith in your heart, you will express that faith that's in your heart because you have it inside you, but it's been revealed to you. And that is what we want. We want where the ministry that, from this church that gives us a word, it will give us a faith in our heart, and we will express that faith whenever we go out those doors. You say amen. For we can bring hope to somebody. Amen. Let's all just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the grace that you put into our heart, into our lives. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for keeping your people so long, Lord. I didn't mean to do it, Lord. I just didn't want to cut short, Lord, of showing the things that you did, Lord. Because me and my wife, we didn't do anything. Brother Paco didn't do anything, Lord. We were just vessels, Lord, that you used, Lord. But Lord, that each soul that you allowed us to reach, Lord, thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I ask you to go to these pastors, Lord, we spoke out. Brother Felix, Brother Ezekiel, Brother Juan, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to minister to each one, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Go to Brother Allen. Go to Brother Paco, Lord. Lord, as they're out on the missions field this morning, Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, as a bride, Lord, that we can focus on the right thing, Lord, that we together can lay our lives down for the brethren, Lord, that there be a unity among us, Lord, in this bride. Lord, this message has come to bring unity among us, and the message, so much things around the message has caused everything but unity, Lord. There's little bitty divisions between one another, Lord, about nonsense, petty stuff, Lord. Lord, may we rise above every bit of that, Lord. And Lord, have our hearts tuned into you and to your spirit, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would touch this assembly, Lord. Lord God, that we could have a true heart for missions, Lord. Lord, that we will be a church that signifies from our faith, an expression of our faith, Lord, of laying our life down for the brethren, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you inhabit our praise this afternoon, Lord. That, Lord, you can minister to hearts. You can search within us, Lord. I want to ask you, Lord, forgive us for our slackness, Lord. Forgive us for the times, Lord, that we didn't give 100% when we could have, Lord. Lord, I ask you, please, walk the aisle this morning, Lord. Lord, would you knock on hearts this morning, Lord, that you could ask them. Lord, I ask you to help them, Lord, and ask them, would you lay your life down for the brethren? Would you lay your life down for your pastor? Lay your life down for your song leader, Lord. Lord, lay your life down for the trustee board here, Lord, that we could serve one another, Father, in this body, Lord. Let there not be any schisms here, Lord. I ask you, Lord, come this morning, Lord. Knock on hearts, oh God. Lord, help us to rededicate our hearts to you. Reconsecrate ourselves to you, Lord. We love you this morning. We just want you to come and be in our midst. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
seen that, things that the Lord would do on the missions field. You know, we are here in the United States, we are blessed. We have the money where they don't. You know, as we've said so many times, Brother Bram said, you can't go send someone. And so, you know, we have the air conditioning and we have, you know, the blessings of the padded seats and that sort of thing, but we want to make sure we don't let that cause us to become complacent or anything like that. I just wanted to say that in some of those pictures, it looked to me like Brother Daniel was 10 years younger. I mean, notice that. He looked really tired on the way home. But he looked like he was 10 years younger because that's just right in his environment, you know, doing missions work. And so I've always been anxious to support Brother Daniel so he can go whenever. Of course, it takes money to do that. Not just money for the trip, but, you know, when he's down there, he's not up here making a living. And so, you know, as a church, we want to support him financially also, just to supplement his income while he's gone. And so I told Brother Daniel we would do that. And so I did have a question, Brother Daniel. How loud is their music?
It's very, very loud.
I figured it would be. You know, that's something they do have.
That's right.
They throw their hearts into it because that's something that they can do. In the poor, they can do that. And so I'm sure it was a blessing to be there. You know, you see these things and you look at the smiles on Brother Daniel, Sister Vicky's face, the different ones are smiling and happy. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot of good times, a lot of good fellowship, a lot of wonderful moments. But it's hard. It is hard. It's hard just to travel across this nation, but it's hard to travel into other countries. And it's especially hard on the way back. And that's the last thing you'll have to do is stand in line in customs for hours or whatever, however long it takes. And so it's physically hard on your body. And so just pray that God will just give Brother Dan and Sister Vicky the strength, get them restored back. But we want you to always remember that. It's hard. And so, but that's our call. That's what we're called to do. As Brother Bram said, you know, Brother Daniel quoted a while ago, you know, when you're doing mission work, you are in the will of the Lord. Amen. Brother Bram said, I already heard a couple of days ago, he said, one of the hardest places in the world to have a healing prayer is here in America. When you go outside in these other countries, they don't have the things. And so we realized that the nice lifestyle we have wars against faith. It wars against having the kinds of move of God that potentially is there for us. And so I want to encourage you, just to, as Brother Daniel talked about, search your heart, you know, and look for areas in your life where you can shave off a little bit of this easy living that we have and devote that to the Lord. Amen. So, because we are so blessed. It is a choice. Brother Daniel gave an excellent report. He's challenged us, look for ways that we can get involved in missions. And this is, you know, not a rebuke at all, but it's a choice you have to make. You know, we have excess. We do have excess. So it's a choice that you make to choose to deny yourself and use that to bless somebody else. So we live for each other here as a church family, but we have church family abroad also. So just wanted to encourage you there. Thank Brother Daniel for all the effort putting all that together for us. We enjoy it.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord a hand. And just to remind you to be in prayer for these different things that Brother Daniel has listed. We'll be praying about those. Just because they're there doesn't mean that's what, you know, we want the Lord's leadership on any of those. And so, obviously, we will be praying about those things. And may the Lord provide. Amen. Amen. So, we have another song for dismissal. Amen. We'll just sing another song and then you can be dismissed. Never thought I'd catch the musicians off guard. They always have a song.
I've been looking, I can't
So, well.